Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio. Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio's weekly wrap-up. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next hour, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in our chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. I'm sure the majority of this show will be taken up by the draft, but I'm in a terrible mood today when it comes to the WWE, folks. Terrible mood, and I'll tell you why. The WWE brings about the worst possible luck, and they bring it on themselves, by the way. This is the thing. I'm going to be talking a little bit about some people who I think are pretty damn airheaded, but at the end of the day, it's the WWE who brings this all on themselves. Now, a former writer is suing this company over offensively racist scripts. The former writer's name is Brittany Abrams, and she filed a lawsuit Tuesday in federal court in New York, claiming that the WWE, Vince McMahon, other executives, I don't know how many, 20, 30 co-defendants, she was hired as a writer for SmackDown on a temporary basis, and she was brought in at full-time sometime in May of 21. She was fired in April of 22. Now, the suit claims that right after Abrams made multiple complaints of discrimination, she was targeted for termination. In plain words, that means when she bitched and moaned about doing her job the way she was told to do her job because she found it to be, oh, this is too offensive for me. This is pro wrestling, by the way. They finally said, all right, well, you know what? Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you're just not cut out to do this. Now, according to this lawsuit, Abrams, who happens to be African-American, reportedly objected to what she thought was racially insensitive material in SmackDown scripts. This is what she points out as an example. She says, senior writer Chris Dunn wrote a scene for Bianca Belair, who is also black, as we know, in which she was scripted to say, don't make me take off my earrings and beat your ass. And Abrams then wrote an email to SmackDown head writer saying that the scene was racial jargon and offensive stereotypes. My head is going to explode. I don't know how stupid the world has become, but I will tell you it's pretty damn stupid. First off, there's nothing racial in that. If you see something racial in that or stereotypical in that, then you're the racist. There's not one word of that that is racial in any way. If you're trying to tell me, well, that's a stereotypical thing that black women say, well, then you're the one who said it. You're the one who's making it stereotypical. If you admit, oh, well, that's what ghetto women say, okay. Well, then you're the one that's making it racial. But even if that's true, don't you understand that the WWE has a right to create a character? How about if you're doing a movie and you say, yeah, I want this character to be pretty much a racially stereotypical, angry young black woman who says things like Cardi B might say or whatever, and that's who we want. That's the character. There is no Bianca Belair. That is a character. You're playing a character. I'm sure Roman Reigns does not go around in his life acting like the head of a mafia family. I'm sure that's not what he does. Is that stereotypical to Samoans, or are you making fun of the Italian mob? What the hell is going on in pro wrestling? You had Sheamus out there eating raw potatoes. I didn't see any Irish people say, oh, that's typical Irish thing. I give up. You know why wrestling sucks? Because they got to dance around bullshit from fans who aren't really fans, who just want to complain about everything under the sun because everything offends them, in which case you should turn the television off and stop watching pro wrestling and watch something like you can't even watch a cartoon because that's offensive too. I don't know what you'll watch. I don't know what you'll watch because everything is offensive to you. You're all nuts. Don't you understand that wrestling is nothing more than a scripted television show with characters that they invented, and that these athletes are playing the roles of these characters? Do you not understand that? Is that too much to comprehend? So let's say they do want her to be stereotypical of a what you would call ghetto-talking a black American woman. So what? That's the character they invented. That's the role they want filled. You don't want to fill it, don't do it. If I go for a part in a movie and they say, well, I don't know, man, we're going to make you a drug addict hippie because you got long hair and a beard. So I think you're going to be this drug addict hippie who hooks his girlfriend up with dope, and she ends up kicking the bucket. Am I supposed to say, oh my God, that's offensive. Not everyone with long hair does drugs. How dare you? How dare you stereotype me? Or do I just say, oh, well, you know, that's really not a part I would be. I think I would probably reject that part because I don't think it's something I want to do. You got the right to do that. You're not going to be in the acting world very long, but you got the right to do it. So Bianca Belair could have said, yeah, I'm not saying that. If you are looking for a young African-American woman to fill a role of what you consider to be more of a trashy, ghetto-type black woman, you've got the wrong woman. I don't want to play that role. That's okay. I'm not going to be in the wrestling business very long, but that's okay. But you don't have writers coming in saying, well, I think this line is offensive, and I think this might offend somebody. Is anybody offended by this line? Raise your hand. I think there's four Eskimos living out on Long Island that might protest if we say this. You can't run a wrestling show that way, so of course they fired her. But you know what makes me madder than this? What makes me madder than this is everyone's taking her side. Oh, the WWE was racially insensitive. Blow it out your butthole. What do you think Gunther is supposed to be? You think they're supposed to be Nazis? Do you honestly think the way they're standing, the way they're curling up their lip and doing their pose downs and everything, that you think that Gunther and especially Ludwig Kaiser, you think they're not supposed to be Nazis? But now we hear, we don't hear from the German people. You're recreating the worst time in our lives. All German people should protest the show. Jesus. Folks, maybe pro wrestling isn't for you if you're offended by every little thing. My goodness gracious. Do you go to like these death metal concerts and say, I'm offended by the pentagram, I'm offended by the use of the Satan, I'm offended by the way they're doing this, I'm offended that they use this language? Then don't go to the death metal concert. You know what's going to happen. I love that. Oh, yes, I am a Christian preacher, and I tuned into the Howard Stern show, and I have to tell you, I'm very offended, and I don't want him saying those things. Oh, screw you. Don't listen to him. See, you don't get to judge what everybody else in the world deems morally okay. You don't get to do that. But now on to the reason I'm mad at the WWE. Why did you hire this woman? What credentials did this woman have? Did you put her through any sort of interview in which you would have seen this woman is clearly out of her head? She's going to take every little thing to heart. She's going to complain about every little thing that happened. Now she says that when Abram spoke to Bianca Belair the next day, she said that she had told Dunn three different times that she didn't want to say that line. But Dunn never listened to her and put it in every week. Okay. Look, they're trying to get up a catchphrase for her. Right? They're trying to get up a catchphrase that they can put on a T-shirt. I think it would have been pretty catchy. Don't make me take these earrings off and beat your ass. I think women might have bought that T-shirt, right? It's kind of empowering to women. See, this is the thing. How is this a black stereotype? What I read when I read that is, this woman is not afraid to take you on. I'll take my earrings off and go, even if it's with a man. That's how I read that. So if you read that as this is targeted toward making fun of African Americans, then I would suggest you're the one that's a racist. Because when I read that line, African Americans did not come into my mind. What came into my mind was women who weren't afraid to go. Women who were like, I'll just take these earrings off, or I'll just take my fake nails off and we'll go. Becky Lynch could have said that line. There's nothing racial about it. You made it racial. You're the one who sees that in that. That's because you got a problem. So now that she's fired, because every little line has to pass her morality test, she's going to sue him. Oh, it's not fair to fire me. I was just complaining about every single aspect of my job and holding up the process of creation. And I can't take it. Now they said the suit also alleges that one of the writers, Callahan, proposed a racist storyline for a Muslim wrestler. Abrams and another writer were pitching a storyline where Mansoor, who's born in Saudi Arabia, was keeping a secret from Aaliyah, who's also Muslim. And after Callahan shot down an initial idea, the writers had suggested, how about his secret will be he's the person behind 9/11? It never would have made it to television. I don't know if you've ever went into a creative meeting in your life, but when I was in a wrestling federation, I was one of the people who did some of the writing. And you can't believe the ideas that come up. People will just toss around ideas like they're tossing around, you know, jelly beans, this, that, the other thing. And you'll find the most outrageous ideas that you'll just laugh at and say, yeah, that's not happening. That was never going to be on television. They fired Muhammad Hassan for stuff like that. You think they're bringing it back in today's age? No. It was just a dumb suggestion made by somebody, probably half joking. Probably half joking. As we speak right now in NXT, do we not have the mob? Are the Italian people complaining? You're telling me that group with Tony, whatever his name is, that's not the mob? They put the tag team in the back of a car, never to be seen again. Pretty Reckless or whatever the hell they're called, right? And then sleeping with the fishes. That's not mob. Do you see writers quitting because you're unfairly portraying the Italian American community? This has got to stop. I'm telling you, this has got to stop. Wrestling's going to hell in a handbasket. All the fans that used to watch it, enjoy it, aren't, and now just a bunch of woke snowflakes are watching it saying, what can we complain about this evening? Maybe they'll say something we can get on social media and complain about. You're ruining the whole sport. It's not a sport. It's, as I said a million times, it's a business, but you're ruining it. Regardless of what it is, you're ruining it. Because now writers have to check their creativity and say, oh, well, we can't do that. That might offend somebody. I can't make them say this line because someone might take it that it's offensive. Forget it then. Forget it. Forget pro wrestling as you know it. Pro wrestling is dead then. I'm offended that maybe somebody would sneak up and hit somebody with a chair. I'm offended by that. That's promoting violence. How dare you promote violence when there are children watching? How dare you promote a man sneaking into a ring clearly meant for just pure wrestling and attacking someone with a steel chair? How dare you? How dare you indicate that? How dare you indicate that Rhea Ripley is somehow a dominatrix who has beat submission into Dominic? How dare you indicate that? That's too sexual. I want that banned. Where do you want to start with this, folks? Where do you want to start and where do you want to end? You tell me. Because it seems like there's only one or two classes that are protected here. You can't say anything bad about African Americans. They can't even be, I guess they can't even be heels anymore. They can't say anything that you'd say, oh, well, that's too stereotypical. And apparently LGBTQ community, yeah, they can't be. You can't say anything that's too stereotypical there. Everybody else, you can stereotype the Irish, you can stereotype the Germans, you can stereotype the Italians, you can stereotype the rednecks. How come Solo Sikoa has such a hard head? What are they saying there? Samoans have thick skulls? Is that what they're trying to say? That's offensive. I'm offended by that. That's a horrible thing to say. Where do you want to end with this? So the WWE is involved in another lawsuit, and they'll probably lose. And the world of professional wrestling, as we know it, it's to the point now, folks, I'm being dead honest with you, where I'm losing interest quickly. And the reason I'm losing interest quickly is nothing exciting is ever going to happen. It would be like going to a movie and saying, I'm going to a James Bond movie. Now, the villain can't be that bad because we can't stereotype him. He happens to be Russian, and we don't want to upset the Russian. So he's a pretty nice guy, but he's a little misled, and he's not going to kill anybody. And by the way, James Bond is bisexual now, but where are we going to end with this? Where are we going to end with this? So she's offended because you want a female wrestler to say, do not make me take these earrings off and beat your ass. Becky Lynch's actual catchphrase is the last kicker. Oh, what does last mean? That's a slang word, an Irish slang word for a lady. So she's saying, I'm a lady ass kicker. Well, I didn't know Becky Lynch was black, gee. You see how absurd this is? Do you see how absurd this is? But it's the WWE's fault because they hire people like this. And then you make these extreme examples. They were going to do a 9/11 gimmick. No, they weren't. You think that was ever going to pass? Somebody sitting there eating a pizza, drinking his freaking energy drink and saying, maybe I got an idea. Maybe he's behind 9/11. And everybody goes, yeah. Anyway, let's get back to the serious ideas. And then this writer says, I'm getting tingly all over because now I have a lawsuit. I can say they were dead serious about that, and I was terribly offended. Whatever happened to the days when wrestlers did things and you were like, yeah, that's the whole point. You're supposed to be offended. You're supposed to be terribly offended. That is indeed the point. Bad guys do bad things, yes, exactly. I don't know, Mike. I don't know where this is going to end, but if it doesn't end soon, I see bad things for pro wrestling in the future.
You know, what was Santos Escobar's group before they were the LWO?
Right. No, we got all different kinds.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. Let's go, you mentioned rednecks, right? Right, so let's go and look at one particular person, Gretchen Wilson. The way she came up with that song "Redneck Woman," which you've heard the lyrics from that song, right? It's not a pejorative. Sure. She's proud of being what she is, right? So the way she came up with it is she looked at all the rest of the country stars and these doll looking. All done up people, and she said, well, that's not me. I'm just a redneck woman, right? That's how she came up with that song. So you're going to call her racist or whatever for coming up with that song and the way she came up with it. And basically what she, that line, I've seen that happen in real life. I've seen it happen when a,
of course. Now, here's the thing. Bianca Belair is perfectly fine, Tom, with saying, girlfriend. That's much more stereotypical. How many times have you heard Bianca Belair say that? But she's offended by, I'll take these earrings off and kick your ass. Once again, when I read that line, it didn't come into mind as, that's a black stereotype. It came into mind as that's a tough girl saying, I'll take on whoever. And if you think I'm so feminine, I won't fight you. Let me take these earrings off and show you I'll fight you. That doesn't sound racist to me, Tom. That just sounds like they want to make her out to be a tough girl who says, look, you know, I may look feminine. I may look sweet and nonviolent, but I'll take these earrings off and go to work on you. How's that racist?
It's not, and it's just another example of WWE bowing down to the woke. It's just like who's going to stand up and tell this woman, dude, shut up. If you think exactly what you said a few minutes ago, if you take that as every African-American woman says that or would say that, then you're making it racial.
That's what I said. You're the one who's the racist. That's exactly correct. Now, the other thing that's pissing me off is you can't be a heel. So apparently Chavo Guerrero says, I want Rey Mysterio to stop using Eddie Guerrero to get himself some pops or whatever it happens to be. He's playing a character. Do you not understand that he's probably trying to make a bid to get in the WWE and say, maybe I can create a storyline where I can get a little bit of money myself? So all the wrestling fans are like, oh, no, they're shitting on Eddie's name, and Chavo's upset. Chavo's not upset. Chavo's trying to make bucks. Chavo's trying to get himself networked into the WWE so he can come up with something, and they can say, oh, well, we'll bring Chavo in, or we'll bring Vicky in or something, and we'll start a program that way. He's trying to get hired. So he's playing the role of a bad guy, saying, yeah, I'm pissed about Ray doing this. He's not pissed about Ray doing it. See, that's how fans are so sensitive. Oh, but you'll defend CM Punk. CM Punk took what was supposed to be the ashes of Paul Bearer out of the urn of The Undertaker and rubbed them in his face. And I didn't hear one single CM Punk fan saying, that's so insensitive. That was a very bad thing he did. No, it's okay if it's CM Punk. He can do whatever he wants to do. He can piss in your Kool-Aid and he's cool. But if somebody else does it, then it's a big problem. That's what's wrong with the world today. If you like somebody, it's fine. They can get away with anything. If you dislike them, they can't do anything right. There's no more actual fairness in the world. How many times have I stuck up for CM Punk? I hate him. I absolutely hate the guy. I think he's the most overrated, untalented, goofball that I've ever seen in a pro wrestling ring in my life. He's lucky to have any career whatsoever. The only saving grace of CM Punk is that he's good on the mic. He's not particularly interesting in the ring. He doesn't look like he's tough. He apparently isn't because he couldn't last 2 seconds in a UFC ring with guys who couldn't make it. But he can get away with anything. I've defended him many times, however, when he was right. See, here's the thing. If you're right, you're right. Right is not based upon who you like and who you don't like. It's based upon logical fact. So when he says something that's right and somebody jumps on him, I'm going to say, well, no, he's right about that. He was right about everything he said in AEW. Every single thing CM Punk said at that scrum, he was 100% right about. It's not about what he said. It's about where he said it. Being right doesn't mean that's what you say in front of media and embarrass your company. If he had made these allegations in private to Tony Khan, who somehow made them public, I would have said everything he said is right. He's absolutely correct about everything he said. And he did the right thing, and he told Tony Khan what he really thought. Tony Khan's an idiot for making it public. That's what I would have said. I don't like Matt Riddle. But when Matt Riddle was accused of sexual abuse, I said, hold the phone here. Something does not sound right with this story. And I defended him, and was I right? I was right, as it turns out. The thing about it is, folks, you have to be willing to say, I may not like a person, but that does not mean that in certain instances they aren't correct. You don't automatically say everything they say got to be wrong, and if you like them, everything they say has to be right. That's not true. It's not true. And I'm telling you that that line, in no way, shape, or form, makes me think of a ghetto black woman. Not one thing about that line. If you told me Becky Lynch came out and said, don't make me take these earrings off and beat your ass, I would have said, yeah, that sounds like Becky Lynch. That sounds a lot like Becky Lynch. If Liv Morgan had said it, I would have said, yeah, well, that probably sounds like Liv Morgan, yeah. It has nothing to do with her skin color. But they see racism in everything. They see misogyny and homophobia in everything because that's what they're looking for. They're conditioned to just keep looking for it and looking for it and looking for it. You don't hire people like that. You just don't. How do you pass an interview to be a writer for a wrestling with that kind of an attitude? I just don't get it. So is it, you know, whose fault it is? Is it this woman's fault? No. She's an idiot. But you don't hire idiots. It's the WWE's fault. They're making these unforced errors, and they're continuing to do it. Because now tonight, we're going to have this draft, and here's the deal. Half and half. We only certain people can be drafted tonight. Then on Monday night, another group of people. That's not the way you do a draft. Why would you do a draft that way? Why would you do that? I'm serious. Why would you do that? You put everybody out there. Okay, listen, if you want to try to save face by saying, well, then the first and second pick, somebody's going to feel like, well, I was third choice. Okay, well, here's what you do then. You say we have an A bracket and a B bracket. We have an A bracket for the men's division and an A bracket for the women's division. And we have a B bracket for the men's division and the women's division. Based upon win-loss records or whatever you want to do. You get two choices from each or one choice from each or whatever it happens to be. The rest go in the pool for Monday Night Raw. So say each person's going to pick five people. So you say you get two Division A picks, or three Division A picks and two Division B picks for a total of five. Anybody who is not taken then moves on to the next round where there is no brackets and you can pick whoever you want. That would make more sense. Here's the list tonight. Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Bobby Lashley, Candice LeRae, Chelsea Green, and Sonya Deville, who are, I guess, now a permanent tag team. Cody Rhodes, Damage Control, all three of them. So there goes Bayley separating from that. Biggest mistake you've ever made. Dexter Lumis. How come Dexter Lumis isn't in the tag team? Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, Edge, the entire Hit Row, entire Imperium. How come the entire Imperium Gunther's not a part of that tag team? Lacey Evans, Matt Riddle, Maximum Male Model, Mustafa Ali, Natalya, Almost, Shinsuke Nakamura, The Bloodline, which now apparently only consists of Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa for what reason, I don't know. You're taking the whole Hit Row. You're taking the whole Damage Control. You're taking the whole OC because AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and Meat Chin are all one pick. You get four people, And one of them's AJ Styles. So if you're the GM, how could you not take that pick? You're getting AJ Styles, which is an A-lister, Gallows and Anderson, and Michin from the women's division. You're getting four people in one pick. Yeah, nobody'd take that. Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. That's who you get to pick tonight. Now, the Usos are on the next pick. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, they're probably going to divide Reigns and Solo with the Usos. And you know why they're going to do that? Because then they both got a reason to come to the other show. Well, the Usos are on SmackDown, or the Usos are on Raw, and Solo and Reigns is only on SmackDown. Yeah, and they'll show up behind the scenes, and they'll show up to interfere and do whatever if that's what they want to continue the storyline to be. So that's just a bullshit pick. Means absolutely nothing. Only Roman won't show up. See, that's how that'll work. So let's say Roman goes tonight on SmackDown, and he'll stay on SmackDown. But the Usos will be there. If they're drafted to Raw, they'll be backstage. They'll be interfering in his matches, and Solo too. Meanwhile, Solo will show up, and Paul Heyman will show up over on the other brand, just Roman won't. This draft is worthless. It's a joke. It's an absolute joke. Todd, I can't imagine why anybody would not pick four people for the price of one if you're going to include the entire OC, even Michin, who hasn't been with the OC in I don't know how long. We haven't even seen Anderson and Gallows.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, the first draft I really liked was with Bout back in 2002, 2003, the very first draft with Flair was running Raw as a co-owner and Vince McMahon was running SmackDown as a co-owner. And that draft, the first one, it was more exciting.
Listen, you can do this draft the right way and make it something special and fun. This ain't it. This ain't it. Somebody please explain to me why the entire OC can go as one pick, but the Bloodline can't. Give me the actual reason for that. There isn't any. You're just idiots, and you think we're idiots. That's the problem. Oh, you can have AJ Styles, Carl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Michin. Can't have the whole Bloodline. You can have all of Imperium. You can have all of the Damage Control. The rules don't make any sense. It would make sense if you said tag teams and factions are going as one. Oh, by the way, Judgment Day and Rhea Ripley are separate. Why is that? Because she's the champion, I guess? I don't know. See, this is why the WWE loses their credibility. Because they never think logically, Mike, about these drafts. They just say, well, we'll just make up whatever rules we want. Then just switch people and don't even have a draft.
Right. And here's another thing. If you're going to do this with this, then why doesn't the whole LWO go? You know, all of them, including Zelina Vega. You know, that if you're going to take the entire faction, you got to do the same thing with all factions, you know, everything. Not just the ones you deem that are going to be there, but everything. That includes things like the LWO. You're right. There's a reason why the NFL draft is so big, right? There's a reason why when it's up in New York, people wait to see what happens when the New York Jets pick. Right? There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing in a nutshell. That's the whole thing. None of this makes any sense. This is the problem. There's no logic behind it. The logic would be everyone's available in brackets, so we can do it on both shows fairly. Two, tag teams got to go as tag teams. Factions have to go as factions. We're not separating anybody. But then they tease it and they say, this is going to shake the WWE to its core. We may see the end of the Street Profits. Why are we seeing the end of the Street Profits? We're not even seeing the end of Chelsea Green and Sonya Deville. They're being taken as one. How can they be taken as one and the Street Profits aren't? Forget it. Just forget it. It makes absolutely no sense. Hit Row is being taken as a whole unit. By the way, there's no stereotyping there. Rappers, huh? Oh, they're rappers. Naturally, they're rappers. They're African-American. What else would they be except rappers? This is the problem. This is the problem. I want people to understand something. You can love wrestling with your whole heart and soul, but you have to understand wrestling, too. And wrestling may not be what you think it is. If you're 16, 17 years old now, and you think wrestling, pro wrestling, is about great athletes going in, perfecting their moves, and putting on 35-minute matches to show their talent, you're wrong. I'm sorry, you're wrong. It's not what it's about. Wrestling is a television show and a live play, and it's about characters, and you're playing a character. That's why they changed their name, okay? That's why they changed their name. There is no Roman Reigns. There is no Undertaker. They change their name. Because they're characters. And they say the person I represent when I'm in the ring isn't necessarily me outside the ring. You have to understand that. It would be like watching a soap opera and saying, oh, I'm offended that that guy hit on so-and-so's wife. That's a low-class thing to do. Yeah, it's in the script. He's not running around in real life hitting on people's wives. You have to calm down, folks. Wrestling is entertainment. It's actually in the title, WWE, World Wrestling Entertainment. It's actually in the title. I don't know what more you want. That's what wrestling is. And then if you happen to be a five-star wrestler and you can put on a great match on top of playing that character, all the better. All the better. But I'm sure Enzo Amore doesn't walk around the street saying, I'm a certified G and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach. I'm sure he's not doing that. It's a character. Get used to it. That's what wrestling is. Relax and enjoy the show. There's going to be things that offend you. There's going to be things that upset you. There's going to be things that you find too violent. There's going to be things that you find whatever. Just relax. The criticism should come from the actual fact of how much you enjoy the show, not because you're offended by something, because naturally you're going to be offended by something by the very nature of the business. It's like if you break anything down. You say, oh, that move looks stupid. All wrestling moves look stupid if you want to break it down. Explain to me how you can whip a guy to the ropes and he always turns his back. If he's so hurt and so tired, why doesn't he stumble and fall? Why doesn't he hit belly first if you're pushing him? Why does he actually turn his back, hit the ropes the same way, and come forward? That would never happen in any form in reality, ever. That would never happen. How come you're not calling for that to, oh, they should stop doing that? 90% of wrestling moves looks ridiculous, and it would not work in a real match or a real fight. Period. But you don't go nitpicking on every bit of it. You just sit back and enjoy the show. The nitpicking comes when you can't enjoy the show because these idiots keep telling you everything's offensive and everything has to change, Mike, and that's what has to really change.
Right, and think about it this way. I guarantee you that if it was real, people like Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley and Kurt Angle could beat the hell out of any one of these people in the ring, right? Because that's what they did. That's particularly Lashley and Lesnar, but Angle for God's sakes was a freaking Olympic wrestler. So was Gable, you know. So those guys can actually get it done. Well, maybe not so much Angle anymore, but the three other guys can get it done, you know, and look good doing it. And, you know, those guys can do moves that actually look like wrestling moves, right? They're real, right?
Right. So now you're going to sit here and tell me that tonight, the very first person to pick isn't going to say, I take Roman Reigns and Solo. That's not going to happen. That's not the first thing you would pick, right? That's not who you'd pick first. Of course you will. Because number one, you're getting two. See, that's the thing that bothers me. You might not take a tag team just because you're getting two, because as a general manager, you might say, I have enough tag teams. So I don't really need another tag team. But if I'm getting two solo competitors, one of them is Roman Reigns, who literally has held the belt for 1,000 days, and the other one has one loss in his entire WWE career, and I can get them as my first pick, two for one, what kind of an idiot would say, yes, I take Dolph Ziggler? Yes, I take Lacey Evans? Yes, I take Shinsuke Nakamura? Who would do that? Explain it to me. So, of course, it's going to be Roman Reigns is going to go to SmackDown. He's going to be the SmackDown guy. And if he isn't, then that's going to make the SmackDown, unless, of course, Raw gets to pick first. If Raw gets to pick first, then he's going to be a Raw guy. Whoever gets to pick first, that's who that's going to go. And if that's not the truth, then the person who picks first is going to look like a total friggin' moron. And then the next one that you would probably come back with, I would imagine, is Cody Rhodes. They're going to try to separate Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns because I don't necessarily think they want Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns to hook up again now. I think they're coming to the same realization that we're coming to, that maybe Cody's not the guy. I don't think Cody's winning the other title. I think Seth Rollins is. So we're probably going to get Cody Rhodes on the opposite show to Roman to separate that. But, I mean, at the end of the day, folks, who you got on this list you're going to take? Well, obviously you're going to take the Bloodline, Roman Reigns and Solo. Then the next pick for the other team is probably going to be Cody. After that, I would imagine, you'd be dumb if you didn't pick AJ Styles, Luke Gallows, Karl Anderson, and Mee Chin in one shot. One shot, you're getting four guys. One shot. And somebody will probably take, you know, Drew McIntyre's in here. That's very interesting considering his contract is up soon and they're saying he may not re-sign. But I don't see Bray Wyatt's name. I don't see Alexa Bliss's name on either night. On either night. That's pretty telling. Something's going on there, Todd. They're not even going to mention him.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, you know, I was looking at the list of the names of who's going to be in the draft. I didn't see Bray Wyatt's name or Alexa Bliss's name or anything. Like, they haven't been on TV. I don't know why they're not going to.
It's not on there. It's not on there, Tom. So what does that tell you?
It tells me either that, A, that, you know, they're hoping that we as fans are going to, you know, not realize they're there because they haven't been on TV in a while, or there's some kind of some kind of surprise lurking that they haven't come up with yet, so they have something on. Or this could be some kind of a, you know, issue with Bray Wyatt, and that's why we don't see Alexa Bliss, because they screwed up the storyline with.
I think they're just trying to make us forget they existed there, so that when they come back, they can be different or whatever it happens to be, Mike. Because those are two big names not to be on the list.
Right, and that's the thing. And think about this. I'm getting off the draft here, but recently, apparently, Trinity Star, which is Naomi, has signed with Impact, I believe, at least
yep.
for a short-term deal. So apparently she knew this was coming up, and apparently the only thing I can say is she's thinking, well, they're going to screw this thing. If I go back, they're going to screw this thing up and screw me up again, and I'm not going to have it. I'm not going to go back, if I go back at all, until after this shit show is done, you know. That's all I can think that she's thinking, you know.
Well, I have a little bit of a conspiracy theory on that. I have no proof. But she's been away from the wrestling game for a while, and I wouldn't be too surprised if they said, you know what, go ahead and sign a short-term deal with Impact, sharpen yourself up, get your name out there again, and then, you know, when you're ready and your contract's up, you let us know, and, you know, we'll pick you up. I'm kind of thinking that might be where that's going. Because, look, she's not going to make anywhere close to the money she's making WWE and Impact. And like I told you, she could have come back with the snap of a finger. If her husband said, I want her rehired, or, you know, I'm going to be woefully unhappy, they don't want to make the Usos unhappy right now, and they don't want to make Roman Reigns unhappy. She'd be back there in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. So she obviously doesn't want to be. And she's obviously taking a whole lot less money not to be. So my thought process is maybe they said, you know what, go sharpen yourself up and get ready for a good run. And when the time comes, we'll pluck you out of Impact. It wouldn't be too surprising if they worked out a deal and said, you know what, sharpen her up at Impact. Remember when they used to do that with ECW? They'd take Al Snow over there, or they'd take somebody over there, and they'd say, you know what, use them for 6 months, 5 months, and when they get built up to a certain level, we'll take them back and we'll compensate you for it or whatever. Would not shock me. That would not shock me, because the WWE doesn't see Impact as competition, because they're not. They're really not. So we'll see what happens there. I think there's more to the Naomi story than meets the eye. But what, now Big E's not in the draft, and I hear he may come back even tonight. But the bottom line of that is, well, you can't say it's because he's injured, because so was AJ Styles, and he's in there. So was Drew McIntyre, and he's in there. So I'm not really sure what the whole situation is. I know the draft is a shit show, because none of the rules make any sense. Can you imagine an NFL draft that said, well, we got to take the quarterback and the center, And as one. But your tight end, no, he's just going separately. But you can take the quarterback in the center as one pick. Okay. Does that make sense to you? Would that happen? No. See, it shouldn't be a draft. It should be a trade. I've always said that. Just like you can trade in baseball, it should be trades, because then you could throw as many people as you want in there. You could say, well, I'll trade you Dolph Ziggler and Moss and Emma for one person. Okay, well, if it's a good enough person, I guess that's all right. I'd love to see WWE trades. Love to see it. Drafts, not so much, because they don't make any sense. Trades do. Let's say you're over on SmackDown. You say, listen, I had a couple of tag teams injured. I don't have any tag teams. So I'm willing to trade you one of my better guys for a tag team, one of my upper mid-carders for a good first-run tag team. That makes sense. or Roman Reigns is out of competitors over here, or Gunther is out of competitors over here. I'm willing to trade you some guys who lost to him but might do better over there, and you trade me somebody that would be a competitor for Gunther. Makes sense, right? Then you're not seeing the same faces. You should be able to trade. There should be a month, a trade month, where you say during the month of April or May, probably right after WrestleMania, actually, we have a month of trades where each week we're going to announce trades, proposed trades, and they could be rejected. You know, kayfabe rejected, but you could also make your moves. I think that would be a lot better, Tom, than this ridiculous draft.
Yeah, 100% I agree, because, I mean, what does Major League Baseball do? They usually – and the NFL to a lesser extent, but Major League Baseball has a trade deadline. And they'll trade, you know, some big – you know, their some of the minor league prospects for a big name, because they need to fill their roster with, you know, positions. It just makes more sense with a trade. Like, how many times a year we're going to trade you know, these three players that are on our farm team for, you know, this player who's pretty much just, you know, an up-and-coming star.
Right. So, for instance, you might say, look, we're willing to trade Drew McIntyre. He's a big name. We're willing to trade Drew McIntyre, but it's going to take a tag team, a solo women's division star, and a mid-carder to get him. Who are you willing to offer? It would be fascinating to the fans. The fans would love that. And they'd say, oh, that's cool. You know, we get to make prospective trades and say, oh, no, they gave too much away, or, oh, no, that was a great trade. It doesn't always even have to be one for one. It could be. I think that's a fantastic idea. Nope, instead, we're going to say, well, you could pick the whole OC with one pick, but the Street Profits are individual. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Thank you. Thank you for the wonderful job you did on putting together this draft that makes zero sense, zero logic, and at the end of the day is going to change nothing. I guarantee you it's not going to change the bloodline. They're not tampering with the bloodline. They're just looking for a reason to say, well, we need another champion. And if we say Roman is staying on the show he's picked, then that gives us the excuse not to really worry about that. And if the Usos stay on the opposite show than Roman, they can still go over to the other show to help Roman. We just won't have Roman go over to the show to help them. Well, he doesn't do that anyway, for the most part. So you've lost nothing. It means nothing. It means absolutely nothing. And who's going to take Brock Lesnar, who shows up once or twice a year, above a guy who's every single week there? What? Who would do that? I know he's a big name, but how much is he going to add to your show in the course of a year? Would you do that if you were a Major League Baseball team and the pitcher said, well, I can pitch two really good games, but it's only going to be twice a year? Or would you have an average pitcher who can pitch every 4 days or 5 days? I mean, I think 99% of baseball teams would say, give me the average pitcher who can give me some innings. So why would you take Brock Lesnar? I'm telling you, when we get done watching this tonight, our heads are going to explode, because they're going to have stupid picks. For instance, they're going to have a woman in one of the first two picks, because that's politically correct. They're not going to say, I take Roman Reigns and Solo, I take Cody. That would be logical. They can't do that because it's not politically correct. So it's going to be, I take Roman Reigns and Solo, I take Bianca Belair. That's what's going to happen, because it has to happen. You can't have the first two picks be men. Why can't you have the first two picks be men when quite clearly the men draw more than the women? Maybe you should have a separate women's draft and a men's draft. Oh, no, that would be politically incorrect. How come we can't have the men's draft on one night and the women's draft on the other night? How come we can't do that? Makes no sense. This is why I'm getting aggravated with wrestling. I don't mind the pageant that is wrestling. I can laugh at some of the things like the whip to the rope stuff and things, whatever. But when you treat the fans like they're abject idiots, and basically what you're saying is you're too stupid to realize how illogical this is. Do you want to be a part of a fan base that particular federation has decided is so stupid that you fit into the category of basically can't tie your shoelaces? Because that's how I feel sometimes. Well, I'm a wrestling fan, so I must be able to, not be able to tie my shoelaces. Apparently that's what the WWE thinks of you, because you look at this draft and anyone would say, this doesn't make any sense. This is totally illogical. The rules are all over the place. You can draft four people in one pick, but only one person on this pick. This tag team goes that just got thrown together last week has to go as a tag team, but this tag team has been together their whole entire career goes individual. That doesn't make any sense. None of it makes any sense. Why are we excited about it, Mike? It's just one more gimmick to get through a couple of weeks programming.
Right, and to your point, a couple points here, but to your point, the NBA and the WNBA, their drafts are on different days. All right?
Right.
They don't have their draft on the same day, on the same weekend, right? They don't do that. That's not how it works with those guys. And secondly, and with trades, I tell you what, I'm a big Houston Astros fan, and back in the early part of the 2000s, they made a big trade for Randy Johnson. And what they did is they sent a utility player that was already up on the roster, plus a couple of guys from the AAA team and a couple of guys from the AA team to Seattle for Randy Johnson. That's what they did. That's how that works, right?
Right. Yeah, because it's supposed to be what your particular team or brand needs the worst. So if you say, look, Bianca Belair's been champion a long time, we don't have any contenders, we're in desperate need of some women contenders, you might want to trade away somebody decent to get a good woman contender for Bianca Belair on SmackDown, right? That makes sense. Just randomly picking people to switch brands makes no sense. Derek's saying they're only doing this because the appropriate timing around the NFL draft. Yeah. That's it. They're just cashing in on the NFL draft and saying, oh, we're going to be cool and do the same thing. I'm telling you, they should go to trades. 1 month, trade month in the WWE where anyone could be traded at any time. That would be interesting. This is not interesting. We'll be back here on Sunday to talk about it, but I guarantee you it's going to be another stressed out, pulling your hair out type thing, because I'm telling you it's going to not make any sense and it's going to suck. Anyway, let's see what happens on SmackDown tonight. Thanks for listening.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.